to worship our King. Great morning this morning. I love this worship and this time of just kind of soaking a little in the Lord and just inviting Him, His presence into this place. Last week, we started a new sermon series. It's called Reach. You know, God has shown me over the last month or so that when He, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, when He reaches a heart, He reaches a home. And when He reaches a home, He reaches a city. And when He reaches a city, He reaches nations. And by the way, this is going to be our theme for the year, Reach. And we made some t-shirts because I want you to be able to go home and say, been there, done that, and got the t-shirt. All right? So we're taking orders. We've been doing that for a few weeks. And if you'd like one, there's a paper on the back. Please, at the end of the service, go back there. But this morning I asked a young man, Kobe Bixler, to come and share his story, and I want to show you how this relates and connects with this message that you're going to hear today.
You know, I've been really blessed with to be able to share this type of thing, and really got me out of my comfort zone to do stuff like this, because just a few years ago, I would never be able to do anything like this at all. So I'm really happy to do this, and I want to really talk about how God like prepared me for what happened. And if you don't know, in July of 2018, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and that's long gone. God brought me through all of that. So I actually get results from my last CAT scan on Tuesday for them to tell me once again that everything's fine. So let's see. I'm going to begin by really talking about how my family came here, and we lived in Rust, Texas, which is 3 hours from here in East Texas, and there we were very comfortable just where we were at. We didn't want to leave. We didn't want to go anywhere other than where we were at. We had plans for my dad to take over as the new youth minister at that church, and my mom was already on children's ministry there, and we had this plan to just stay. And we were so comfortable with everything that was happening. And my best friend, his dad was the youth pastor. And everything, it was just going to go smoothly. Once he retired, my dad would take a spot and we'd just stay. We'd be fine. Mm-hmm. And about midway through my eighth grade year, we started realizing that, you know, that plan's not going to work out. And one step at a time, as my old youth pastor retired and started moving in, they had the search committee, and they told my dad that they didn't believe that that's who God wanted. A whole bunch of stuff started going downhill for me, and I was very upset about that, because you don't want to leave your comfort zone. If you're comfortable where you're at, you want to stay. And this was, I guess, the first little part of, you know, me wondering, why in the world am I moving to Fort Worth, Texas? What is going to go on there? And I just knew my dad was going to go back to school while I was in school, and was not prepared for any of it. And that itself, moving me out of my comfort zone, was preparing me for what was coming, and we had no idea. And then also having amazing spiritual leaders as parents, and that's just a little hint for all the other parents in here. If you're not being spiritual leaders, you really need to, because I would not be where I'm at today without my parents. And they were able to lead me through many different things, teach me different lessons, and just preparing me for what was a lot ahead, and none of us knew what was coming. And getting here, you know, I came from a much bigger church, and I'm surrounded by a lot smaller of a church, but everyone's so much closer. And the connections and everything was just so much better here, because you could tell people really care. And it's I actually feel like I'm in a church family now, and not like I had in the past, whenever everyone was, you know, there's a lot more people. A lot more people. And being surrounded by a loving church family really prepared me for what was coming. And I was able to know from the moment of diagnosis that it was going to be nothing. That I know that storms in life will come, but there's not a storm that God can't handle. And I remember it was July 10th of 2018 that I was supposed to go to summer workouts for football, but then, you know, told my parents I really need to go to the hospital. So went to the hospital, and I remember texting my coach and telling him, like, I'll try to get you a doctor's note. I'll be back as soon as possible. But that didn't happen. And when I did get to go back, it was long after. But from the moment of diagnosis, I was able to realize that what God had prepared me for, that I had no idea that I was being prepared for, that he did really good at it. Because I knew after like a few seconds of being after he said the words of cancer, you know, like no one wants to hear that. And you're thinking like, what's going to happen? You know, like this is something you hear that, you know, this takes people's lives, that this is something, you know, you shouldn't be excited about. But then I realized the possibilities, how I could use this, what would happen if, you know, all of this was to be used for his glory. That because the way that he prepared me, I knew that I had no excuses. I couldn't just whine and complain about it. That, you know, I had a whole bunch of free time to just give God the glory through all of it. And it was, you know, it was something that I didn't really think about until it happened. I remember a long time ago, I was thinking, because my great aunt, she had cancer, and I was thinking, yeah, cancer's bad. I'll probably never get it, you know. I got it before I turned, like, 16. So, watch out. I'm kidding. So, God did prepare me for this major test in life, but it just went by like a breeze. And the only reason that happened was because of God. And I have like no doubt in my mind that if I wouldn't have had God, that I never would have gained the courage to tell my parents, and then I probably wouldn't even be here today. But God has a different plan. God is the one who gave me the courage to go out and speak, and to, you know, he readied my heart for all of this, and he knew the things that, you know, I needed to be prepared for before I even knew anything that was going to happen. And he was able to, one step at a time, just steadily bring me through something to where I could do different things that I never thought that I'd be able to do. And beating cancer, I never thought that that would even be on the table. But Jesus was there for me through all of it, just like he always has. And it, you know, it's difficult to think about, you know, life in general and how bad things do happen and what might come next. But whenever you have a God like we do, you're able to look at the future and you think, I don't care what comes at me because I've got God on my side. So what would I, you know, be worried about? That you have to be ready to step out of that boat and walk towards Jesus. That you have to know that there's another one in the fire. And that no matter what, that God is always by your side, especially whenever you have such a loving church family and loving parents and people surrounding you, letting you know and reminding you every step of the way that God loves you. Thank you so much.
I love seeing the Lord continue to work through Kobe's life. Some of you know this, but his senior year, he wasn't able to play football, which he loves. And his football team went to the state championship. They won the state championship by 1 point. And Kobe, now look at Kobe. He's a lineman, okay? Kobe's a lineman. But the coach said, Kobe, you're going to kick a field goal. And we have actual footage of this, but he got out on the field and he kicked a 3-point field goal. Without that field goal, they wouldn't have won the state championship. And the stories go on and on and on with Kobe, don't they, Kobe? You know, last week we learned something. We learned that all true, lasting change begins in the heart. It begins in the heart. And the Bible is very clear about this. When we trust Christ as Lord and Savior, when we put our faith in him, when we enter into this relationship, because you know this is a relationship. It's not a religion that you wear, but it's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. And when we enter into this relationship, he gives us a new heart. And that's good news. It's good news. And it doesn't matter where you came from, what you've been through. It doesn't matter, you're a drug addict. Maybe you're a Harvard professor. It doesn't matter your background. A thief, a businessman, a prostitute, a Democrat, a Republican, God can change your heart. God can change your heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God will give you a new heart. We talked about what a new heart was. When we talk about the heart or the soul or the spirit, we're talking about what God is doing inside of you, what goes on inside of your life. Well, this new heart inside of you that you've received at salvation, this heart that God gives you, here's what he does. He gives you new sensitivities. And you're more sensitive to him. You're more sensitive to his word. You're more sensitive to the things that he says. And he gives you this new perspective and this new outlook. It's a heart that's receptive, that's willing to receive and willing to hear. It's a heart that says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Look, it's not a perfect life, but it's a heart that's just open and willing to receive from God. And this is what Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It is the wellspring of life. So if your heart is the hub, like we talked about last week, it's the home that's the headquarters. It's the home that's the headquarters, the place where marriages grow and flourish. It's the place where our children are born and raised. The home is the headquarters for world change. If we want to see our world change, we're going to have to start with our hearts first, and then it's going to have to make its way into the home. And so, you know, here's what the good news is. The good news is that if a heart is aligned with Jesus Christ, there is hope for the home. Amen? And it doesn't matter what your home looks like. It doesn't matter what your home situation is. I shared this on Wednesday. Ted Tripp, he wrote this book. It's a popular book called Shepherding a Child's Heart. And, you know, he's speaking about parenting, and I caught this message that he shared the other day. He says there's three discipline pitfalls that we make as parents as we're raising up and teaching our children. Number one, it's disciplining with fear. And so this is the picture of disciplining with fear. You tell your son, you know, if you don't stop picking on your sister, I'm going to wear your behind out, okay? Now, sometimes kids need their behinds wore out, right? Okay. That's another message, okay? So that's disciplining with fear. Disciplining with reward is another pitfall that we fall into. If you will be nice to your sister for 3 weeks, I will buy you the bike that you want, right? And then here's pitfall number three. It's the discipline, disciplining with shame. And I love this one. He says, you know, your dad was a happy man before you children were born. Look at him over there. But when you think about this, none of those three things are really shepherding a child's heart. It's trying to solve problems in the immediate, trying to get them to behave real quick so you have peace in the home and they stop arguing. But it's not navigating their heart. And what's really going on in the heart, in that young man's heart? Selfishness, right? Maybe some jealousy, pride, all sorts of things are going on in the heart. We're not addressing it, though, in those scenarios. And the reason I'm getting at something here, because God intends to use his word to give you principles for your home so you can raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And if you really want your child to grow, to love, honor, and respect God and others, then you have to shepherd their heart. You have to shepherd their heart. So the Bible says, we are like sheep who have gone astray. And I love in the New Testament when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now I'm going to ask the kids to come up front and just kind of stand right here, because I have a visitor I'm going to bring into the room. And all the kids are going, what's going on? What are we doing? So you guys sit right here. All right, come on up. Okay, Jacob. I have a friend that I want to introduce you to. He's coming through the door in just a minute. And all the parents are going, what are you bringing in the door? Okay, so this, give me her name.
That's a sheep. Clover. Is that Gilbert the goat?
So listen, guys. This is Clover. Everybody say hi to Clover.
Hi, Clover.
Yeah, yep. And you're free to pet Clover. We do have hand sanitizer in the back, and I'll send them back to the hand sanitizer. But Clover's a pet, right? And Joe says, that's not, no, I'm teasing. Okay. So let me tell you something about sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. They can't live on their own. They need a shepherd. God's made it that way. And so they need someone to take care of them, to care for them. And here's one thing about Clover that you may not know. Clover's blind. Clover was born blind. She can't see. So the only thing she knows right now is that a bunch of great kids are petting her, okay? So here's what the Bible says as we're talking about the heart today, all right? Everybody knows that we're talking about the heart today. See, just like Miss Sonia here shepherds this little sheep, and she helps it, she nurtures it, she trains it, she pets it, she takes care of it. Just like that, God is your good shepherd, and he shepherds your heart, all right? So get one final pet of Clover, and then I want you to go back to Miss Carrie in the back as soon as you're done, okay? Go back to Miss Carrie in the back. Okay. All right, we can move Clover on along. Thank you so much, Miss Sonia, for bringing Clover in. My goal is to bring in a barn animal every week for the next... No, I'm teasing. Don't even think about it. So, you do. I have a donkey over there. The book of Exodus. You know the book of Exodus. It's about God's people being sort of enslaved in Egypt. And what does God do in the book of Exodus? He delivers his people, right? Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, which is where we're at today, he teaches God's people and shows them and shows us how to live in the promised land. And so just like you and I, we had an exodus. We've been delivered. If you've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, you have been delivered, right? But you need a Deuteronomy. How to live in the land. How to live in the favor of God, the blessings of God. Well, he's about to show us as we open up the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And what goes in, we're going to see that what goes into the heart shapes the home as we read through Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules. Let me go back because I know people are still turning pages. I'll just kind of wait for a minute. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, okay? Old Testament, very beginning of the Bible. It says this, Now this is the new commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. And so Moses had led the people out of Egypt. And now he's given them this, or given Moses this task to teach the people. To teach them what? How to live in the land. He's going to teach them how to live in the land. And these commandments, they represent what? They represent God's character, who God is. So these statutes and these rules that you see in the passage here, this is God expressing his character through his standards. He's expressing his character, who he is, by giving us healthy boundaries and standards. Why? Because he loves us, right? And these they not only represent his character, they are these guardrails, so you don't fall over the edge. And that's what he's giving. So God says, teach them, Moses, teach them. Look at verse 2. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. So we see here, and this is one of the points we're going to look at today, is fearing God. What goes in the heart to shape the home? Well, it's number one, we must fear the Lord. And what does that mean? Well, a lot of times we'll hear it means to respect the Lord, and that's very true. We honor him, we respect him. That is a healthy fear of God. We don't feel like it's right to associate fear with a loving God, and so sometimes we might look at this word fear in a negative way. But and I use this analogy all the time, but I think it's important to just keep reiterating it. So this is what the fear is like. It's like you're digging through, you're a child digging through your father's desk drawer secretly, trying to pull out maybe some money. And he opens the door and you go, that's a healthy fear, okay? Having a healthy fear of a loving father, knowing your place, okay? Knowing where you stand. And we understand the respect part, but sometimes we get a little off track on the be afraid part. That's what this means. This word means to respect, to honor, to put in high regard, and to be afraid. Because if you're not afraid, you won't respect him the way that you need to respect him. And so we're putting him and keeping him in his rightful place. And I think we would all agree, for the lost person, he is a God truly, truly to be feared. Because that lost person is going to have to experience the judgment of God. God will look at his law and he will judge their life. But for the saved person, not by any work we've done of our own, the saved person is covered in the righteousness of God. And the saved person is called a child of God. The lost person is a slave to the darkness. The saved person is a child of God. All people are created by God, right? All people are created by God. But only those who put their trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, authority, the one to be feared, right? And Savior can enter into this relationship and receive this new heart, right? And here's what I want you to get. For those who've put their faith in Christ, this is not like a slave who is cowarding under the slave master. This is a child who honors, respects, and has a healthy fear of the awesome and powerful position of a loving father. That's the kind of fear that we're talking about. I just want to make that clear because maybe you grew up in a home that had a lot of unhealthy fear. And I don't want you to ever think that when we talk about fearing God, we're talking about cowering to an abuser. We're talking about coming under his loving care and his awesome power. There is no power like the power that our God possesses. And there's nothing that should be feared more than we fear the living God. And I like what he says in this passage. And so he talks about fear. And he says that you may fear the Lord your God. And he says, you and your son and your son's sons. And so what this is saying is you, your children, and your grandchildren. And I'm establishing this that you may fear and you may pass that along and help them to understand what it means to respect and to have a healthy fear of the living God. And this is, again, y'all, this is absolutely essential in the home. Absolutely essential in the home. It's absolutely essential for God to effectively shepherd your life. If your heart is resistant, if your heart is hard, you will not be shepherded by God because he doesn't intrude. He only comes to those who open up and welcome him in. He doesn't intrude. And so here's the question. Why are we to fear God? Why are we to be so careful to obey? Why is that? Look what it says in verse 2. It says, by keeping all these statutes and these commands which I have commanded all the days of your life, that the days may be long, that they may go well with you. Look at verse 3. Therefore, O Israel, be careful to do them, that it may go well with you. Verse 3. And that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your father, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. And so why do we fear him? Why are we so careful to obey him that it may go well with you? And that it may go well with your children? And that it may go well with your children's children? Okay? And I know I grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. I posted a picture on Lisa's Facebook the other day of me having when I had my hair down to the middle of my back. All right, don't go look at it. I don't want you to scare your children. But I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so I didn't understand how important these foundational truths are. I didn't know how to be a dad. I didn't know how to have a healthy marriage. Okay, but one thing I did know. I knew that at some point, and it was a rough road, okay? I walked forward at a church when I was 19. I lived for myself for about 6 years after that, got pulled over for a DUI, cried out to God, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. When I did that, I came under his lordship, okay, and began to understand what it is to have that heart that receives from him and that desires to please him. If you don't have the desire to please God, you got to ask yourself the question, am I really, really a follower of Jesus? Have I given my life to Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have I made a decision to do that? Now, we all stray, right? I've strayed. I was thinking back to 2019. I strayed quite a bit in 2019. Sorry about that. Reflecting back to some of my sermons, I'm like, yeah, I could have done better. But I did. I strayed. I kind of got my heart and my mind on some of the wrong things and kind of fell into that. But I'm in this place now where I really see in God's word that if we reach a heart, we reach a home. We reach a heart with the word of God. When we reach a heart, we teach a heart to fear the Lord, to fear the Lord. And look what he says next. Oh, hear Israel, the Lord of God, our God, the Lord is one. This is verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. He wants us to fear him, but he also wants us to love him. In fact, Jesus called this the greatest command to love. This is a relationship, okay? It's not a religion that you wear, okay? It's not some strange family kind of religion passed down from generation. If my mom is a Christian, then I'm a Christian. It doesn't happen like that. This is a faith where you put your trust in him in this relationship, and he begins to show you wonderful things. He takes you into the land of promise, and he shows you how to live. Amen? He sets you free. He makes the crooked path straight. He brings healing to your heart because your past is so filled with the damage of sin that he begins to open up and free your heart. He gives you a new heart to receive a word from him. Are you in that place right now? Is that you? So we're to fear him. And he says, Moses, I want you to teach them how to love. How to love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart. That means your mind, your thoughts, your will. That means your decision making and your emotions. That means your affections. And so we're loving him with this big mix of decision making and thoughts. Our thought life is about loving him. Our decisions are made, and that's one of the things that we do here. When we have a meeting, we talk about how are we going to make decisions for God's church, because this is his church, not ours, right? And so we use these principles, Christ-centered, prayer-led, Bible-based, and Spirit-filled. And we want our decisions made from those principles. Why is that? It's because this is his place. We love him. And it's because he has our hearts, and our hearts are aligned, and we have a desire to please him. And so now, we have to not make the mistake. When we hear this word love, just know this. It's not like the world's kind of love. It's not like Hollywood's kind of love. It's not really like the love that you learn sometimes from your friends in school. It's not the love that we see a whole lot of in our world, unfortunately. So here's what I think is our best approach when it comes to God's kind of love, this agape kind of love. It's a love that is so other. Our best approach is to assume we don't know how to love and just go from there, okay? Because it says in 1 John, it's not that you loved him, but that he loved you first. You want that. You want to know his love first. If you don't have an experience and know his love, you're not going to be able to give it. And so we are to fear God, have a healthy respect, have a healthy fear of the Lord. We are to love God. And I want you to think, you remember that old foreigner song back in the 80s? I want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. And then there's the next line is, I want you to show me. That's our attitude towards God, okay? I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me, because I have no idea. I don't know how to love my wife. I don't know how to love my husband. I don't know how to love my kids, okay? I'm humbling myself, softening my heart to you, Lord, and I'm just telling you, I don't know how to do it. I need you to show me. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. The Foreigner song, remember that, all right? And so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So the fear of the Lord, the love of God inside of our hearts. And look what he says in verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your, and you should love the Lord your God with all your. So verse 5 says, love God with all your heart, and his words shall be on your heart. Why is that? Why does he command this? Because the heart is the hub, and the home is the headquarters. And he's teaching us how to how to create and develop a home that pleases God and draws in His favor and His blessings. Not a perfect house. I'm not talking about that. Not a house that doesn't have pitfalls. I mean, my goodness, we had a family come up here just a few weeks ago and share the story of their son passing away, okay? It's not, well, I'm not talking about smooth sailing all the time. I'm talking about living in a relationship with God through faith, and that we see our destiny with Him. We see a greater hope. We see God in everything. And so we fear God, we love God, and here's number three based on verse 6. We keep His word and we put it in our hearts. We love Him with all our hearts and we fear Him. And you know, this whole loving God and keeping His commandments, it's two sides of the same coin. I want you to think of it that way, okay? It's two sides of the same coin. We love Him first, greatest commandment, right? And His love compels us to love His law, to love His commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so it's two sides of the same coin. There's love, and there is His law, which is an expression of His love. What does the law do? It protects us, and it shows us the character of God. All right. It creates His standards. It paints a beautiful picture of where our boundaries are. And I've shared this before. We're 1203 now. Good grief. We still got like five more songs. We got a worship dancer coming up doing a thing. No, I'm teasing. But this is important. Listen to this. So when you think about God's law, the world will tell you that it's so restricting, but it's the absolute opposite. That's just the lies of the world, and that's what darkness always has to say about light, right? That's the lies of the world. It says it's restricting, and you're going to be prevented from doing anything, and I don't want to be religious like that. I've said that. I said that for years. I don't want to be religious like that guy. He had his pants up to here. Yeah, no, I don't want to be like that. And so I had this attitude, this wrong attitude that said, you know, this is, and that's kind of a faulty way of seeing this faith. This is a love relationship, and His law, it shows us who He is, His character, and it creates guardrails and boundaries for us. It is healthy for you. You need it, and your children need it. And if you're ever going to make an impact in this world or send out generation after generation to change this world, they need it, you need it. It needs to be in your heart, and then pass it on to them. Amen? Preaching now. Why do we tell our kids to stay out of the street? Why do we tell our kids to stay off of the ledge to protect them? Why do we tell our kids to mind their manners or to respect their elders or to respect authority or to respect other people? It's because we're trying to develop inside of them a good character, that things may go well with them. That's what he says. This is the reason he's teaching it, that things may go well with them. We want things to go well with them. Let me tell you, you are a very dysfunctional and not so good parent if you don't want things to go well for your children, right? They need to be removed from the home, all right? We all want things to go well for our children. Verse 7, you shall teach them. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Teach what? The love of God, the commands of God. Diligently. That means purposefully, intentionally, actively teaching them. Why? diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. In other words, in every aspect of life, you're teaching them. When they're doing something, you're attaching the faithfulness of God to what they're doing, right? And when they're serving someone, or they're taking some food to somebody over on the couch, you're acknowledging and saying, look, that is a heart that Jesus has. What you just displayed is a heart of Jesus. Listen, that's shepherding their hearts. That's shepherding their hearts. It's encouraging the Word of God to come alive inside the heart. But why do we want to do these things? We do them for the glory of God. We do it for His glory. Why are you here? Why are you on this earth? Is it for you? You only have about 82 years, according to statistics, okay? What are you going to do in that little space of time? He put you here. He's gifted you. And here's the beautiful thing, and this is one of the things that we teach here at Bear Creek. We teach purpose. We teach the freedom of Christ here at Bear Creek. And what that means is you were born for a reason. God has equipped you for that reason. Now live it out, okay? And then He has an expiration date on this earth, but you will live forever. You will go on, and you'll live forever. Fear God. Love Him. Love God. Keep His word. And the last thing is teach your children. And if you don't have kids anymore at home, teach your grandchildren. And if they don't have, if they're grown, go find somebody else to teach. You keep teaching. You keep teaching this. Teach it to your children whenever, when they rise, when they sleep, when they walk along the path. Teach your children. I want us to consider something. Teaching your children, it's such an awesome responsibility. And the school system is secondary to what you do in your home. It's your heart for God that's the most important thing in that house as a parent. I'm not saying, look, you could come to Jesus today and begin today, and you just be honest with your kids and say, look, I'm trying to figure this out too, okay? And that's one of the reasons the church is here. But look, this church is just a support system. The school system is a support system to what? To the primary teacher. The primary teacher is the parent. And God has appointed you to shepherd their heart. Listen to what He says at the very end. He says this. Verse 12, look at this. Chapter 6, verse 12. Then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Remember the God who brought you out of darkness, who brought you out of the house of slavery that you lived in at one time, and you couldn't do anything about it. You were obsessed with self. You just wanted to feed your desires and pleasure, and you just said, this is who I am, this is who I am. And then God wrecked your life and changed your life forever. Don't forget that. Verse 13, it is the Lord your God, you shall fear Him. You